So this week, as we head into the new year, our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And I want to tell you a little bit about kind of why we've bounced to Ephesians, even though we're in Christmas and all that kind of stuff. So the reason is, one, this is the lectionary text. Yeah, I don't know what's causing that. I can back up if I need to. So one, it's one of the lectionary texts, and I liked it. And two, it's also the part of how I think what we do as preachers. So sometimes I think we as preachers make ourselves really, really important. We think we're like the star of the show, and we think we're like, everybody came to hear what I had to say. You know what? Anytime that we think that that's what's going on, us preachers, when we get the big head, we need to come on the Sunday that the kids do their children's play, right? Because that's what the people come to see. They'd rather see the kids. They want to sing the songs. If the preacher happens to say something good, that's great. But, you know, there's other things that are far more interesting than us. And so it brings me you long way around to my philosophy on how we pick scriptures. And that is, and I don't remember who it was that said it, but they talked about how being a pastor, being a preacher of any kind, whether you preach every Sunday or occasionally, is like being a docent in a museum. So have you ever gone to a museum and you see there's all this cool stuff, right? There's paintings and there's artifacts and there's all this kind of stuff. And there's a docent, which is like the person who's like a tour guide in a museum, right? And they'll be standing beside this really strange sculpture that you don't know what it is, and they're just waiting for you to ask them a question. And when you do, they say, oh, well, this is a 17th century such and such made in this style, and you may not be able to tell it, but it was a gift for so and so, and this is what it's supposed to convey. What does it say to you, right? They give you context that you might not otherwise have to something that you see, but they're not going to give you every single detail about every piece in the museum, are they? They assume that you're going to look at the picture of the flowers and say, ooh, those are pretty flowers, and move on, right? In the same way, a pastor is someone who says, there's so much stuff in this book, right? There's so many wonderful things in here. There are ways to live. There are admonitions, things you shouldn't do. There are blessings. There are curses. There are exciting stories. There are scary stories. There are loving things and wonderful things about Christ. And there's also scary stuff in there that doesn't make any sense. And I feel like it's my job to go through and say, hey, look at this one today. Isn't this beautiful? Why don't we learn a little bit about that? So that's kind of why I'm in Ephesians today. So our scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So this morning I wanted to give you two stories that happened in the same room a long time ago. 30-something years ago, okay? I don't like thinking about that. So when I was growing up, like many of you and like people have kind of resumed this year, families would get together in big clumps, right, in somebody's house, usually grandma's house or great-grandma's house, something like that, and gather around and open presents and eat food and generally just kind of get on each other's nerves, right? And the Drum family had a long tradition of that. Usually it was on Christmas Eve, which many of you probably have your own stories of frustrating schedules right around Christmas. For us, it was always, and it didn't bother me because I was a kid and you know, whatever. But they always wanted to have it on Christmas Eve, which meant we would drive to my grandparents' house, do this big old party, and then have to run back home so we'd be home in time for the Christmas Eve service at church. And so it made things a little hectic for my parents. Now, not for me. I was sitting in the car reading. It didn't bother me, okay? But for them. And while we were doing those parties, there's two that really stick out to me, two presents. And neither one of them were given to me, okay? So one of them, we'll start with the fun. Well, they're both funny, okay? My cousin received a present. She lived, I don't know, a football field away from my grandma. We lived like an hour and a half away from my grandma, okay? So they would always kind of know what Granny Drum had gotten everybody, or they'd have a clue because maybe they went to the store with her, that sort of thing. And she had a tradition that she would get everybody, all the grandkids, the same thing, okay? So that made it a little hard on her sometimes because there's boys and girls and a little older and a little younger. But for a while there, she tried to get us all the same thing. And so it would be something useful. Maybe it was a you know, like something for school, or maybe it was something for your bedroom or whatever, something everybody could use, and then she'd give you individual presents. So this is the year that caused that to stop, okay? I don't remember what year it was, but there were all these presents under the tree that looked exactly the same, and she gave them out to all of us, and we started to open it, and my cousin ripped hers open really fast, and she, I know she didn't mean to, but she immediately said, "It's a darn pillow." And she had gotten us all these really nice pillows. You remember there was a time when those kind of egg crate pillows were really popular, and they had the shape and they would contour to your head. I still remember that pillow. I loved that pillow. But my cousin, whose name I will not say to protect the guilty in this case, was, "It's a darn pillow." And I remember she got in so much trouble with her family, and you know, and we laughed and laughed because she, you know, Granny had picked those pillows out in order to give us a blessing. She had a pillow like that, and she loved it, and it made her neck feel good, and she thought, everybody deserves to have this feeling. I'm going to give it to all of my grandkids, and I'm pretty sure that year she gave it to all the adults, too. So she gave it to everybody, okay? She was an evangelist for those pillows. And But my cousin's response, her first knee-jerk response was, "It's a darn pillow." Now, she was probably Harper's age or something, okay? So she was, you know. And when you're that age, you're you know, we all remember when getting a sock for Christmas is ugh, right? And you get my age, and one of my favorite gifts this year was socks. They had Harper's face on them, but they were socks, okay? And the older we get, right, different preferences change. But when you get clothes as a little kid, you're disappointed. And that's what it was. She wanted a toy or something, and she got a darn pillow. Okay. Now, she still got other presents. There are all these presents, and all she could focus on was, "I got a pillow. I didn't want a pillow." No, I don't remember whether this was before or after the pillow incident, okay? But my sister, Stephanie, whose name I won't change because that's who she is, we were all opening presents one year, and we go through and we did them in order, okay? You know, one person had to open, next person had to open, next person had to open, and this is before the cameras where everybody could take pictures. You only got like one, right? You got one picture, and so you had to be really good for that one present, right? And my cousin Josh opened one, and I opened one. And we got to Stephanie, and she opened hers, and she looked kind of funny for a second. She reaches in and pulls out a pair of green satin panties. And this is how well my parents had trained my sister. She says, "Oh, thank you so much. I love it." Right? And she was little. She was probably younger than Harper. Because that's what mom and dad had trained her to do, right? Whatever you get, even if you don't like it, you say, "I love it, thank you so much," right? And she took it to the extreme. "Oh, thank you. Turns out my grandma used an old pair of panties to dust. And she used those all over the house. And she goes, and ran and grabbed us. I was wondering where those were. She had apparently, because she kept her house immaculate, she had been out there dusting everything and had laid it down with Stephanie's present. So she had something else in the box too. It wasn't just the panties. But so I tell you these stories because it gives you two different ways of reacting to an unexpected and potentially unwanted present, right? One is to say what first comes to your mind. It's a derm pillow, right? The other is to respond with gratitude. Even if it's unexpected, even if it's a little weird, even if it's something you didn't want to know about your granny, right? And yet, in both of these cases, neither one of them are ever going to forget the year that they got those special presents, right? Even though she didn't intend to give Stephanie the underwear, even though the pillows didn't end up being the big hit that she had hoped they would be, we all remember those gifts. And I couldn't tell you anything I got those years, right? But I can remember the pillows and I can remember the underwear, right? This is the way it is with presents, right? We spend. How many of you agonized over what to get somebody on your list, right? What do you get for grandkids or great-grandkids? I don't know the stuff they're into nowadays, right? I don't know. One of our relatives, my brother-in-law's kid, I guess my nephew. I don't know why I called him. My nephew is into this Five Nights at Freddy's thing. It's like a scary video game or something, but kind of cartoony. I don't know. I'm old, okay? And so my wife is like, well, I heard he liked this thing. Do you think this, like, terrifying teddy bear is a good thing? I'm like, I don't know. Let's get it and hope. And it turns out that he liked it. But, you know, we don't know. It gets hard, right? And some of you may have a family member in your family that you just cannot shop for, right? Maybe they buy whatever they want all through the year. Or maybe they just are telling you, I'd just rather have money. And you, I want to give you something. And it's hard. And presents can be stressful. Gifts can be stressful. And one of the paradoxes is sometimes the more gifts that you have under the tree, the more disappointed that you get when you're done opening them, right? Many of you can look back to times when you were younger, especially the greatest generation folks among us can remember times when there were very few presents under the tree, and yet those were wonderful, amazing, blessed Christmases. So it's not a direct correlation between number of presents and level of happiness, right? And so sometimes what happens is we get so wrapped up in the giving and the getting that we've put so much pressure on things and we've forgotten the joy of being part of this whole enterprise, right? Why is it that we give someone a gift? Sometimes it's out of obligation, right? There may be some relatives that we're like, well, I have to get them something. But most of the time when we give someone a gift, it's because we want to see them smile, right? We want to bless them. We want them to love it because it's something that we think they'll really like, and we've thought about it and we've considered, and we want to make something a little bit better in their life. So we get them something like a pillow, right? So that they will sleep well. And then the reaction is not always what we might expect. Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he's trying to remind them whose they are and what their job is. See, Paul, when he starts his letters, he starts out talking good about them, right? I've heard this described as the Paul sandwich, okay? Or you can think of it as a burger, whatever you want to think of. On top, he's like, you guys are really great. I give thanks to God for you. You do wonderful things. And then he lets them have it for a few chapters. And then at the end, I thank God for you. You are really great. You're wonderful. And he smushes it together and sends it off in a letter. This is still in the building them up section of the letter. But he's reminding them, look, I know that it can get tiring. I know that sometimes you feel like you don't have any gifts. I know that sometimes you feel ungrateful or you feel like you don't have anything. And yet, he reminds them of what God has done for them. to listen again, because this is a lot of words that I kind of spouted out for the scripture, okay? It says, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Right? Now, that's a whole lot of stuff under the tree. But what happens is sometimes when we start unwrapping the gifts, and it's a book here, and it's a pair of socks here, and it's a toy here, and it's a new shirt here, and it's this, and it's that, and the other thing, eventually you get overwhelmed, and there's a law of diminishing returns, right? Sometimes we forget how many blessings, how many gifts God has given us. And this is before we get to the physical stuff, right? Like health, like our minds that work, like our families, like our houses, like all that kind of stuff, right? That people, if you press them, if you first ask them, what are some gifts that you have? Well, somebody gave me a coffee mug this year, somebody gave me, right? But the real gifts are other things. They're usually intangible. And it says, Christ chose us. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's pretty cool. I like the idea that God chose me before God separated out the oceans, before God made everything, that God chose you. God chose me long before all of that. I've been watching a lot of football, which those of you who are sporting inclined probably have been as well. And there's a lot of talk about who's going to be selected where and who's going to play for what team and that sort of thing, right? And it's exciting and it's wonderful because, one, they're going to get paid a lot of money. And, two, they're going to get to keep doing this thing that they love, right? And I think that that's part of what we love. We love the choosing, right? Oh, we get that guy. Our team has that guy, and they're going to be really good. We all got drafted by Christ before we were a twinkle in our grandmama's eyes. What a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to think about. And it doesn't matter that I don't have all the physical gifts. It doesn't matter that I don't always live up to what Christ has called me to do. It doesn't matter that I fail and have all these weirdnesses about me. No, God loves me and chose me already. What a wonderful gift. Then, in Him we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, salvation. Forgiveness, right? That's like the eighth present we've already opened, and we're talking about our salvation. We're talking about forgiveness of our sins. What wonderful gifts, and yet there's more, right? It's like the showcase showdown on Price is Right, right? There's more. And he has made known to wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of His will and given us a plan. An inheritance. Having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. That's a lot of words. But an inheritance is a gift that takes a while to pay out, right? And yet, we have gifts for now. We have gifts for tomorrow. We have gifts for eternity, and we have gifts of an inheritance passed down to us through the generations. And we can look at the tree or our souls or our hearts or this world, and we can focus on, really wanted that Lamborghini, right? Really wanted that, PlayStation 5. All I got was an Atari. We get focused sometimes on all the stuff and all the things, and yet Christ, God, have so richly blessed us over and over and over again. And so what then is our job then? How do we respond, right? The kids sang the little drummer boy for the Christmas program, which, by the way, thank you, because Harper loves it and wants to listen to it all the time. And, the verse that I always remember is, they get to the towards the end, and they say, what am I supposed to give Him, right? I don't have anything to give Christ. Even the baby, I don't have anything to give Him. And what He gives Him is playing on the drum, which, not a gift to Mary. We've seen all the memes, right? Newborn baby, hey, let's play on a drum. And yet, we have what He gives, what the drummer boy gives, is the gift of what His talent is. What does He love? What if the way that we repay Christ, what if the gift that we can give to God is by showing our gratitude, showing our appreciation for this myriad of gifts? Gifts that all look like gifts and are exciting, like salvation. That looks like a gift, right? That's like the when you open up the thing and it looks like a bicycle and it's a bicycle and you're excited, right? But there's also gifts that maybe don't look so much like gifts, like making known the mystery of Christ's will. That's that kind of, well, what was this present for? But Christ continues to reveal and to love and to heal and to bless us. Wonderful presence. So I hope that we can have the opportunity this year, this new year, to see those wonderful gifts, to live a life of gratitude for those gifts, and to share them, right? How many presents did you give out this year or have you received where they don't work on their own, right? I'm thinking of a board game, right? You can't play it without somebody else. I'm thinking of your, you know, somebody gives you a gift card to a restaurant. Well, you could go on your own. It's a lot more fun if you go with somebody else, right? All these things are gifts to be used and to be used in tandem with one another. So, Christ has, he says, chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before him in love. That's way back in verse 4. He's chosen us to be holy and blameless. What if the smile that we show back, the love that we show back toward the gift giver who has given us so very much, is to live a holy and blameless life? I'm not asking you to resolve to do that because we know how those go. But I am asking you, when it gets difficult and you don't want to do it, and you don't want to live that blameless life, and you don't want to live that life of gratitude because you're tired and you're angry and you're frustrated, to remember the wonderful gifts that have been given to you by our Lord and Savior. Amen.